Awesome. Okay, who's up for a message? We up for this one? Yeah. Let's pray this one in. Father, Lord, we want to commit this year to you. We just already in faith are believing for amazing things. That you'd make yourself known, that we'd be people who celebrate your goodness, that we would make ourselves more available to your purposes than ever before, that we'd become better at being family. Here at Equippers Church in Essex, that we'd be a family, we'd love each other, we'd do life together, that we could increase on all of that. But Lord, my prayer is that as we look back in December 2024, we'll say, wow, God is good. So we commit this year to you. And for this moment, Lord God, in this message, I pray you could use someone like me just to bless amazing people like this, that people would leave challenged and encouraged and take a step closer to you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. This could be your most significant year in your life. Could be. Here's what I believe is the key factor in all of that. How are you going to walk with God? You can do your best in your own strength and you're a gifted, talented person. I don't doubt it. And you can make some stuff happen. But I believe if you get God front and center, it's a different experience entirely. So the key, I believe, to your significant year is how will you walk with God? Are you hearing me? You know, I know for me personally, you know, God called me to lead a church many, many years ago, and my prayer life has changed over the years. I pray differently now. It's changed from telling God what I want. You know, God isn't the genie in the sky at my beck and call. Lord, I want this to happen. Lord, I want that to happen. Lord, can you change this? Those prayers are valid, and God wants a relationship with you, and he wants to hear the desires of your heart. It's good. But I want my most predominant prayer to be something like this. Lord, what's important to you? And how can I be useful to that? Let me make important to me what's important to you. Rather than giving my list of requirements. And again, if that's how you're praying, it's valid and God loves you. You're his child and he wants to bless you like a father does. But how about we start saying, God, what's important to you? How can I be of use to what's important to you? Because I'm up for it. Surely in Matthew 6, the seek first the kingdom of God principle is this. That if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you put him first, you honor him first, everything else will be added to you as well. The trouble is we flip it and we make everything else important to us and then seek the kingdom. Could we shift our prayer life and say, God, just what's important to you and let me do that, and then trust that he really is our heavenly Father who loves us, who supplies according to his riches and not mine, and he'll give you everything you need anyway. And there, he wins, we win, everyone wins, it's just better. So could this year be the year you shift your prayer life to say, God, what are you doing? And can I join in? And then everything else comes. Are you hearing me? I believe God wants to bless you. But I believe because I want God will bless you, you can prioritize him. And he'll bless you anyway. I think so often we go after the blessing when really we should just go after God. And the blessing follows. Are you hearing me? I hope I'm stirring you a little bit. You know, one of the things I imagine, and I don't know how theologically correct it is, so no one shoot me, please. But I'm believing there's going to be a day one day in heaven where I'm going to have a chat with my Father. Can you just picture that with me? And it's not the judgment chat. It's not the day I stand before the Father at the judgment seat, because that's a done deal for me. Because Romans tells us, doesn't it? It says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again, and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you are saved. And that's a done deal for me. That is a description of me. I believe all those things, and I'll confess Jesus is Lord. I'm in. Are you in? I'm in. So I don't have to worry about that bit. But this is the conversation I'm looking forward to. You know, here I am, this side of eternity. If we can call heaven that side of eternity. I know that's not theologically, because eternity is now and it just keeps going. But while we're on earth, we're here. Are you with me? Did a bit of a stretch there. But while I'm this side of the veil, maybe that's a better language, I don't know. I'm his hands and feet. I'm his mouthpiece. And wouldn't it be flipping awesome if I had a nice conversation with the Father and said, do you remember that time in 2024 when I just pushed past myself and had that conversation and I was able to tell someone about you, and the Father says, that was brilliant. Oh, Barry, I just loved it when you did that. You pushed past yourself. You made what was important to me important to you. It was brilliant. You see, because the truth is, we are God's hands and feet. The church is his A plan to reach humanity. And there's not a B plan. It's you. And so wouldn't it be awesome if actually this year we made it important to us what's important to him and stepped out of our comfort zones and just be acted like people of faith? Because do you know what? There's people to love. There's compassion to show. There's generosity to put on display. There's a life of faith to demonstrate. I love it. Sarah and I, we just challenge each other just to do outrageous lifestyle stuff. You know, when everyone else was struggling, we were buying a new house. You know, when everyone else in business is pulling back, Sarah starts a new business. It's just like we fly in the face of the world. And people might say, oh, Barry, you do take gambles. But I want to say this. I don't take gambles. I'm just a man of faith. And I pray and I say, I'm going to do what you call me to do. And what happens is we succeed every time. And they go, you're so lucky. I'm not lucky. I've got Almighty God behind me. I'm blessed. His favor is with me. But I can't sit in some weird zone of comfort. Faith equals risk sometimes. Sometimes you've got to step out and go, this is a little bit scary. But then Almighty God comes underneath and says, come on, I can use that. So what's your faith step going to be this year? Because there are people who need Jesus looking at you. And they might look at you and you might change job or start a new relationship or I don't know what it might be. You might do something that's just a little bit out there and someone's watching and they'll talk to you about it someday and you'll be able to say, that wasn't a gamble for me. It was a faith step. It was the certainty of what I don't yet see. And God came underneath me and said, here we go, I can use that. So come on, can I stir your faith? Can you be people of faith this year? Let's get out of comfort zones. I'm not talking about leaps of faith that are so out there it's frightening. I'm talking about a step of faith. Could you take a step? Because God will bless it. Are you with me? I hope I'm stirring you. Let's pray this year. Let what's important to you be important to me. Is there an amen somewhere in the house? The thing is, when we talk about plans, and by the way, my title today is Anointed. We're going to be talking about anointing. But God's plans often have far-reaching impact, even eternal impact. Whereas probably for us as people, we're more immediate. You know, probably we're thinking, how is this going to affect me now? Yeah? Even people are good at pensions and stuff. People good at pensions in the room, by raise of hand. Good pensions, yeah, a few people, not too many people, a few people are good. But even pensions, they're really a 50-year plan, aren't they? Whereas God is a generational plan, an eternal plan. So even our, what we think are big plans and long plans are nothing like God's. And the trouble with that is when we want to get on God's page, it pushes against our flesh. Because we like to know what's happening now. We want to see what happens now. And God's saying, if you do this now, it will have an impact in 20 years' time. And we're like, what? And so we think, what's the point of doing it now? It pushes against us. Are you hearing me? You know, we started this church nearly 19 years ago. And it's been a journey. But you know what? We're starting to see the fruit now. Have a look around you. What a brilliant church you are. I love it. I think this is a reflection of heaven. Look at you guys. You're flipping awesome. And we are the best looking church. Amen, someone said. That's the biggest amen I've got all day. But God plans will be further than ours, and it pushes against our flesh, and it costs something to be on God's page. Because it pushes against your flesh and you have to get past that, it costs you something. You know, many of you know we've got a dog and we walk her every morning. And on Saturday mornings, we walk through the Castle Park and there's the park run. Are you familiar with the park run? It's like sweeping the nation. And we love to watch it because we're walking the dog and you'll have all these people sort of congregating and they all wear amazing colours, the different trainers they've got on and the leggings and the tops and the hoodies. And there's just this array of colour and you can feel the buzz as they're arriving for the park run and they're all smiling and meeting up with someone they saw last week and some of them are taking it really seriously and are really good and some people are just about getting round, but they're in this community and you can sense they love it. But I want to say they pay a cost to be there, because on every other day but Saturday when we're walking the dog, we see ones, we see twos and we see threes running. They're preparing themselves so when they get to Saturday's park run, they are not like me and you would might be. They have paid a price to be there so that on the Saturday they can smile, they can laugh, and they're going to get something good out of it. It costs them something. Are you with me? Yeah. We gather on a Sunday. And I want to celebrate you guys. You've turned up. It costs you something. You know, there are a million and one things you could be doing on a Sunday morning, but you've said no to that. and yes to this. Give yourselves a round of applause straight away. Because whether we like it or not, church is important to the Father. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell can't stand against it. Jesus said, I long to gather people. And so it pushes against us. But when we prioritize the gathering, we're pushing against our flesh and buying into the spirit. It costs you something. Maybe some of you have got small children. Who knows? It's an absolute nightmare getting the kids out the door. But you've pushed through and you've got here. And some of you were on time. Sneaky. But it costs you something. But you will enjoy the gathering on a Sunday even more when you pay the price every other day. And by paying the price, I mean giving devotional time to the Father, getting yourself into prayer mode, having the worship on. You know, I love Talk Sport Radio. I'm right into my football and I'll have Talk Sport Radio on. But I've made a choice that when I'm having my shower, Talk Sport Radio is not on, the worship's on. Maverick City are singing to me. No, they're not. They're singing to the Father, but I'm listening. But you know what? You get out of the shower, and so often I've had a revelation. So often I've been in a prayer space. I've been prompted. I get out. I come out of that shower. I'm on fire for God. But you know what? Why? Because I paid the price of whatever's happening in the football world, that can wait. Because this is more important. And I get a better version of myself. I don't know what price you're being asked to pay, but you will be asked to pay a price. And if you will pay that Monday through to Saturday, when you come here on Sunday and the first worship song goes up, we're like, thank you, Jesus. Rather than, oh, it's been a tough week. I haven't done very much. It takes me four songs to get into it because I listen to Talk Sport all week. And you know what? It's not a sin to listen to Talk Sport. So often we start saying it's a sin to do this and that. It's not that it's wrong. It's that where's the balance? What's the most important thing? What am I made doing my time with? What's the outcome of all those things? So I want to be in the best place possible. So when our worship team get up here and they say, are we ready, church? It's not like, oh, I think so. Oh, I've had a tough morning. I haven't really done it. It's, come on, we're ready. And it costs you something to be there. Are you hearing me? You know, it costs you something to serve in a team. You know, but if you're serving a team, I promise you, you'll get more out of the church experience. You'll get to know people. We'll become a family. And God will say, yes. You're buying into what's important to me. Are you with me? Yeah. Who knows? It's really easy to get sidetracked. We live in a society where there is so much information now. I don't know, if you opened your phone, how many apps you got? I'm going to say probably, what's the average amount of apps? What are we saying, 20? 30 even? How many pages do you have to go across where there's still apps on them? Those every, and what happens is you have your email app and you read an email and they, oh yeah, I wonder what's happening on Facebook, and you're on your Facebook. Oh, that was funny. I wonder if that's appeared on Instagram as well, and I'm on Instagram. And then you look at your TikTok page and then a text pops up, and then the 15 WhatsApp groups you belong to start giving you messages. And before you know it, in the next 10 minutes, you've been on 16 different apps. You've achieved lots of stuff. You've got loads of information, but you've achieved zero. We just get sidetracked. I went on here to look at my emails, and what I've actually done in the last 10 minutes is not read an email, but I've got so much. I know what's going on Facebook. I know what's going on in the world. Do you see? We get sidetracked so easily, and I've come here this morning to tell you that you are an anointed child of God, and one of our enemy's tactics is to sidetrack you. God is looking for his church to be people of faith, to stand up and live for something bigger than themselves. And it's so easy for us to get sidetracked. Can I challenge you? And I challenge you as a senior pastor now. Meetings on Sunday are important. Before lockdown, on average, most Christian people would go to church 3 times out of 4 in a month. After lockdown, most Christians are going 1 time out of 4 in a month. Could we shift that? What's the priority? What's important? What are we getting sidetracked doing? And is it changing your world? You know, if we firmly believe that the best year to be had is when we walk with God, how about we make church important? Can we do that, church? Can you touch the person that just said, kind of, it is important? It's interesting because we're going to look at David from the Old Testament, and his life is so inspiring. But there is a moment in his world where he gets sidetracked. The devil is good at sidetracking us. He's good at it. The devil doesn't want you in church. The devil doesn't want you listening to worship music and praying. He doesn't want you. He'll sidetrack you as much as he can. And David, who is a man after God's heart, David, who is a man of faith, David, who is so successful, he's become the king. He's in a season where the kings are supposed to go to war and they lead their army, they lead their nation in war. It's that season. He's supposed to be out there, but he decides he's not going to do that. He gets sidetracked and he stays at home. And while he's at home milling about, when he should have been at war, looks across the houses and he sees a beautiful woman. A beautiful woman who's married to another man. And because he's the king, he takes said beautiful woman and sleeps with her. Why? Because he was sidetracked. Getting sidetracked leads you to a place of disappointment and often sin. And God is saying, come on, church, don't get sidetracked now. Come on, let this be a year where we say, focused. I'm living here on purpose and for purpose, and it's bigger than me, and it's worth the sacrifice. Come on, is there an amen somewhere in the room? Amen. Let's take hold of our lives this year. So let's have a look at this idea of anointed. Ultimately, the word, you know, very Christian word, biblical word, anointed, it ultimately means rubbed in. That's what anointed really means. Oil, often symbolizing the Holy Spirit in scriptures, is rubbed in as an outward expression of a spiritual reality. And so often when the anointing happens, an empowerment of the Holy Spirit comes and it enables you to go beyond what is normal. So if you say someone is anointed, what you're really saying is they've had an empowerment from heaven that has been rubbed into them and their gifts have now become supernaturally good. So you think about drummers. We've got good drummers in our church, haven't we? You can get good drummers. All over the world you get good drummers. But you can also get anointed drummers. And the difference with an anointed drummer is they don't just bang and crash and show off their great skills. They're sensitive to the moment. Sometimes the most anointed drummer doesn't drum at all. Because they step back and go, actually, this is a quiet moment. Sometimes they'll just tap a cymbal. And it just creates that environment. Sometimes they'll build the song and say, come on, there's a praise coming. They'll build it. But they're able to sense what's going on. It's not just that they're a good drummer. It's that they're an anointed drummer. Can you see the difference? So pray for our drummers. I believe they are anointed. Let's keep them walking in their anointing. What about an anointed counselor? You can go to loads of people and share your issues and they are so gifted and they're learned and they know what they're doing and they point you in the right direction. It's clever. It's helpful and it's good. But you can get an anointed counselor. And God empowers them from heaven just to find the key. So what's the issue here? What's the root and how can we heal that root? It's a gift you have that God empowers from heaven and rubs it in on you. And as you submit it to him, your gift just goes to new levels. Are you seeing it? You could be an anointed parent. There's lots of great parents out there, but what about an anointed parent? You know, for me and, you know, being the lead family here, my life is on display. But my 19-year-old son just gave a great message, didn't he? That's because I'm not just a good parent, I'm an anointed parent. And so I'm bringing up anointed children, and you're seeing it. You could have anointed children. I believe you do have anointed children. Could you walk in it and say, God, just empower me to go to new levels? You know, you could be an anointed communicator, an anointed leader. Some people you listen to, they say the same thing as someone else, but you just get it. You know, I always found that with maths teachers. So maths teachers are a breed, aren't they? They know how to do maths. They're brilliant at maths. But they talk to you about it and you don't understand a thing. And yet you're reasonably clever. But then another maths teacher just says something slightly different. You go, oh, I get that. Well, almost, that's an anointed. That's a gift, isn't it? God can empower that kind of thing. What about anointed leaders? Would you be familiar with the leader Brian Houston? Hillsong. You know, I know he's had his issues recently, but I love that guy. He's impacted my life massively over the years, and I want to pray for him and see him do well. But we have laughs in Christian leader circles that Brian Houston is so anointed. You could drop Brian Houston off at the North Pole, and within a month, he'd have a church of 5,000. Because God's just given him something. Yeah. And it's not that he's better than anyone else. He's carrying a gift from heaven. Do you see it? So you are anointed people. And let's work out what that anointing is and get us flowing. There's anointed business people. Some people don't just have a good idea. They start doing something and God says, I'm going to empower that. Can you see it? So it's not just church stuff. It's life stuff. God can empower you. Let's look at Jesus' statement in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. I love this. This is like a life statement from Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Can you see his language? The Spirit of the Lord is on me. It's heaven coming to earth. He's anointed. He's rubbed something into me that empowers me to go beyond what I could normally do. And there's purpose behind it. Can you see the purpose? Proclaiming freedom, setting prisoners free, proclaiming favor. Jesus said, this is why I'm here. This is the purpose I have. And the Spirit of God rests on me and is rubbing it into me and empowering me. You are anointed. You have gifts and purpose in you. And God is looking to empower them from heaven so you can have greater impact on earth, which is bigger than you. Do you get it? Come on, church. It's time for the church to stand up and say, we're not just a bunch of kind people. We're a bunch of people of faith empowered from heaven to live extraordinary lives. Come on, we need to stir our faith and say, come on, I'm about some business here. We need to stir our faith and say, come on, God, what's the gift you've given me? And would you empower it? Would you anoint it? Could I go to new levels? Could 2024 be the year I look back and just go, wow, how did I do that? And the answer will be, because the anointing flowed. Are you with me? Come on, someone stir themselves this morning. When you look at the life of David, and most people here will probably know about the life of David, you know, he did things that he could never have imagined. You know, here we are many thousands of years later still talking about him, using his life and his decisions and the yes in his heart and his mistakes to learn and encourage ourselves. He could never have imagined that. And I just wonder whether the things you're going to do this year, you can't even imagine the impact they're going to have one day. And so don't say, I don't know what difference that makes. Just say yes and allow God to use you to impact people somewhere down the line. Are you with me? So here is David. He's out in the fields. We know he's a young boy. He's serving his father by looking after the sheep. While he's out there, we know he just developed a heart after the Father. That's how the Bible describes him. He was a worshiper. No one was out there. It was just David. And he was worshiping, he was developing a heart, he was developing skills. He had a slingshot, and his job was to protect the sheep. So when the lions and the bears and stuff came, he would get his slingshot and he'd kill these animals that came. He was protecting them. But no one saw that. And I want to say this, church, and this is why your private life is so important. So often, when you develop skills and habits in private, God can take those, anoint them, and bless them in public. You know, you want something to happen in the world that people see. What are you doing in private? And I want to encourage you. Come on. This is a time to say, what does my private life look like? It's really, really important. So here's this time when God has seen David. He's seen his heart. He's seen how he's lived. And he says, there's my man. And he sends the prophet Samuel. And this is what happens in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. Can you see the practice? God sees this man. He sees his heart. He sees what's happening in private. He says, I want to use you. You've got a heart. You've got the character. You've got the skills I'm looking for. Then he anoints him with oil as an outward symbol of what's spiritually already true. And it's at that point the power comes on him. I want to say anointing releases power. Amen. And so at that point, the power flowed. Can you see it? It costs David. It costs David's family. And so often to do things for God just pushes against the flesh, pushes against natural relationships. You think David then gets called away and he serves King Saul and God takes him on this journey of all these incredible things, but his dad lost the shepherd boy. So where does that leave poor old dad? We don't think of that. It costs the family to release David into his calling. Maybe it's going to cost you to release someone into your calling. Or maybe it might be hurtful for you to step into your calling for someone else. But what's most important? And these are the decisions we sometimes have to make. You know, I love it. I'm going to read you this scripture in a minute. But it impacted his brothers and his relationships. I believe probably his brothers were a bit jealous. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 28 and 29 says this. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You only came down here to watch the battle. Now what have I done? Said David. Can't I even speak? Can you see the brothers having a row here? Classic, absolute classic. But David, who's his brother has seen anointed by God, comes to the battle, sent by his father to bring food. This is where Goliath is. This is where they're getting challenged. And the brother's like, what are you even doing here? Who are you? And then he belittles him. Why aren't you looking over those few sheep in the wilderness instead of coming to the battle? And David's like, what on earth? It's causing problems. There's clashes in the family. Do you know what? If you're going to go for God, there will be clashes in your life. And the decision you have to make is, am I going to follow my call? Am I going to press into my anointing? Am I going to prioritize the things of God? Or am I just going to try and keep the peace? Do you see it? Sometimes it's tricky. You can feel the tension. So then comes the Goliath moment in David's life. Here's this great big 9-10 foot giant coming out, challenging the armies of Israel. Send out your best warrior. No one wants to go and fight him. And there's David. And David says, I'm up for it. I'll do it. He's a kid. They even put the king's armor on him. It's so big, it swamps him. And he can't wear it. He says, I'm not going to do that. He says, I've got to be me. Church, can I say that when you've developed an anointing, don't try and be someone else. Don't put someone else's clothes on. Be you. The best tool in that situation was a slingshot. They tried to send him out with a shield and a sword. He would have lost. But he goes out there with the slingshot. And here's what I love about it. David was always going to win. Goliath, in the natural. It looks like he's a great big warrior who's well-seasoned, who's beaten everyone, who's 9 foot tall, he's massive. Come and fight me then. I'm rubbish at that impression. But he's doing that. And then this little kid walks out. And in the natural, we see a giant warrior and a little kid with a stone. But in the spiritual, all heaven's going, let's see how this plays out then. Because you're not going against a boy with a sling. You're going against an anointed man of God. And he had developed skills in private of throwing the sling. But God had empowered it from heaven. He was never going to miss. He was never going to miss. Can you imagine it? You know, I like my football. Liverpool fan, obviously. And when Liverpool score a goal in our house, it goes nuts. Yeah, come on. I'm just imagining David and Goliath and all of heaven's up there going, how are we going, guys? Are we ready for this one? Here he goes. And little old David's walking out there, a little scrawny, probably six stone when wet, going out there. And his great big Goliath's going out there, and all the armies of Israel are like, oh, what's going on here? Oh, no, this is going to be terrible. And all of heaven's going, here we go. He's going to throw it. He's going to throw it. He's going to throw it. And heaven goes, bang, knocks him dead. He goes and cuts his head off. And then, it's only then the average person believes. When they see it. But the man of faith, the anointed person, sees it before it happens. It's faith. I can step into it. Everything looks like it's against me. I shouldn't start that business because we're in recession. I shouldn't buy a house because the market's wrong and the mortgage rates are too high. I shouldn't change my job because this is so comfortable and I'm earning a good wage. I shouldn't enter that relationship because of X, Y, and Z. I shouldn't pull out of that relationship because of X, Y, and Z. We see in the natural, but if we could see in the spiritual, if we could see in the spiritual that the anointing is with you and actually the end is a foregone conclusion, but we have to walk it out in the natural. But that's where our faith comes in. Am I stirring someone this morning? Here's the thing. You are brilliant people. David could not have known when he was out in the field worshipping that by one stone he would set a nation free. One stone. You are brilliant people. I wonder if one act of faith could shift so much you can't even imagine it. And I love celebrating you guys because there are people in this church paying a price already. There are people who are prepared to go out and have a coffee with someone just to make sure they're okay. There are people who are prepared to sit and have a conversation and pray with them and impart wisdom to them and see them set free. And it costs time and energy. There are people serving in teams every Sunday, coming here, a whole bunch of... Could you stand up if you set the church up at 8 o'clock this morning? Can you stand up? If you were here at 8 o'clock this morning, come on, let's give them a round of applause. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You can sit down. While we were having our morning breakfast or walk or laying in for an extra half an hour, these guys were paying a price. And God's like, yes, come on, bless you guys. It's amazing. They're paying a price to make it happen. But as God gets his weight behind that, as the anointing comes behind that, people meet Jesus. People get healed. Lives are changed. Relationships are healthy. Good things happen. And let's get back to that conversation with the father. You know, and he says, oh, Uncle Dan, when you got up every... Do you know Uncle Dan has served every week for 2 years? I'm asking for 13 in a year, every week. I just want to imagine Uncle Dan's conversation with the father when he gets there and says, do you know that week when I was so tired
I had to drive that stupid van again. I got there and they hadn't turned the heating on. It was freezing Baltic. Half the team didn't show up on time. I lifted everything and God just says, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, says, thank you, Uncle Dan. Thank you. Come on, church. There's lives to be changed here. Imagine yourself in front of the Father and the Almighty God just says, thank you. Thank you. You paid a price. You are my good and faithful servant. More than that, you're my son. I love it. Can you hear it? Come on, could this be a year where we start prioritizing what's important to God? Could this be a year where we start understanding we're not just normal people, we're anointed people. You have a gift. All of you have gifts. I don't know what they all are, but you've got a gift. And my prayer is that God could anoint that gift, and this would be a year that your gift goes to new levels. You find yourself just saying, what on earth's going on? This is amazing. And what it will be is you're actually being a person of faith and believing that God could do things through that you other people wouldn't be able to do. Are you hearing me? Just wow. Okay, two challenges. Integrity allows anointing to flow. Integrity. You know, David on his journey, you know, he killed Goliath and everyone started celebrating David and King Saul became jealous. They were singing songs about David. He kills 10,000 and King Saul only kills 1,000 and he became jealous and he wanted to kill him. He'd done nothing wrong other than serve the king. He wanted to kill him. So David had to run and hide. And there was this time when King Saul was going to the toilet, actually, randomly, in a cave. And David was hidden in the cave. And he had his sword. And King Saul was relieving himself. And he could have killed him. He had the moment. It was dark. Saul didn't know he was there. He had his weapon drawn. He could have just run it through him. And that would have been the end of it. But you know what David did? He went up to him, snipped off the corner of his cloak and left. And then he came out and he said, I could have killed you. And this proves I could have killed you. But I'm a man of integrity. You're still the king, and I honor you. It's just like, wow. But that integrity then attracted mighty men. You can read in 1 Chronicles in chapter 11, these mighty men that came around David, and they had amazing exploits. They killed many, many people. They were proper, hardcore warriors. And because of what they saw in David, the anointing and the integrity and what he stood for, they said, we are willing to come under your leadership, and they gathered around him. And it begs lots of questions. Who are you attracting? What lifestyle are you leading and who is it attracting? Because it tells you how you're living. His integrity attracted mighty men. I want to suggest to you, if you want to be the most effective this year, if you want to be the best version of yourself this year, who are you doing life with? Who are you hanging out with? Do they encourage your gifts? Do they point you to Jesus? Do they point you to purity and faith? And I'm not saying you shouldn't have friends who don't do that, but what are your averages like? Do you spend the most time with people who are going to build you up as a man or woman of God? Because it's important. David went on to be king. His son Solomon became known as the wisest man on the planet. He built the temple. David, when you look at it, is in the line of Jesus. In fact, Jesus calls himself Son of David. So David's life was huge. But when you look at it, he made mistakes and got sidetracked. But ultimately, when it all boils down to it, he was a man of integrity who had a heart after the Father, who was willing to say yes and step out. And we celebrate that yes today. He was anointed. You are anointed. My question is, will you say yes? It all started in a field and no one could see it. Maybe your yes starts on the 7th of January 2024 in a church full of brilliant people and no one knows what's going in your heart, but God does and you do. Who knows what that could lead to one day? Come on, stir your faith. This is an important year for you. This year is up for grabs. So what will you prioritize? How will you pray? Could you make important to you what's important to God? Anointing releases power. Acts 1, verse 8, the classic. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Remember Jesus' statement? The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me. So when the Spirit comes on you, it releases power. But there's purpose. Can you see it? The purpose of the power is to witness for Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Made lives better. Healed people, provided for people, loved people, forgave people. So we are empowered to do those things. I love that. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27 says this. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed, because of the anointing oil. I love this. The yoke is the device they used to put on the cattle when they pulled the plows. And it speaks of a weight which forces you in a direction. But what breaks the yoke? The anointing. Who are the anointed ones? Here you are. I want to suggest to you that some of the yokes today are mental illness, our anxiety, our lack, our depression. These are things that are so heavy on people, they're forcing them to live in a certain way. And there are brilliant counselors out there, and there are brilliant research studies, and they are helpful and they are good, and I admonish them to you. They are good. But there will never be a quicker healing than when you encounter someone who's anointed. Because it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Come on, we are going to be spiritual people and believe we can see something that's just not natural but supernatural. That's what God's calling us to. So I don't know where you're at with this stuff. I don't know who you know, but I know this, you're anointed. And so therefore you are positioned better than anyone else on the planet to break things off people. Come on, could this be a year where we start seeing some of that in church life? Could this be a year where you become more aware of his presence? You know, when Jesus is baptized, it says the heavens opened and the Spirit descended like a dove. And so if I can build that picture with you, here we have this dove, the Holy Spirit. And just imagine the Holy Spirit's resting on you. And you want to host his presence. Because who knows, when the Holy Spirit is present, life's better. Yeah. Amazing things happen. You feel better. Your life goes better. Everything's better with the Holy Spirit. And here we have this picture of the dove resting on you. And you need to host his presence well. So what you are looking at, does it host him well? Or does it make him think, I can't see that? The things that are coming out of your mouth, are they hosting him well? Or does it say, I can't hear that? The things that you are doing, are they hosting him well? Or are they scaring him away? But if we could be people who prioritize hosting his presence, purity, faith, integrity, honesty, transparency, all these things, when we start hosting his presence well, do you know what's going to happen? The anointing is going to flow with power. And it's worth the sacrifice. It's worth pushing against yourself to do that. If you want anointing to flow in your family, if you want it to flow in your workplace, your studies, in your church, in your personal life, make hosting his presence important. It will be a game changer. You know, prayer is key. Because prayer opens the way to his presence. You know, I love it when you study the Hebrew that, you know, they don't say the name God and they don't even use vowels. And so where we would say Yahweh, they would say Yuvavavav. What's your God? Yuvavavav. But the amazing thing that is that they say every breath you breathe out is speaking his name. Because, and I love my God, because whether people believe in God or don't believe in God, they're worshipping every day they take a breath because they're speaking his name. Yuvavav. 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 And it opens the way. When we communicate with heaven, it opens heaven. And we have this relationship with him, which he strongly desires. But it's on our, the ball's in our court. Will you pray? Will you give time to pray and seek his Lord? Check this word out from Isaiah chapter 64, verse 7. There is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself to take up and take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. So these people have got themselves into a lifestyle of not seeking him. And he says, there's no one stirring themselves up. Church, can we stir ourselves up to seek his name? It is a stirring up. If we stir ourselves up to seek his name, what's happened? God's hidden himself from us. And it's a weird one, isn't it? Because why would God do that? But I think there's a good answer. The reason I believe God does that is because to seek him, we have to deny the flesh. We have to stop listening to talk sport. We have to pray and get the worship on. We have to stop hanging out with that people who draws away from God and start hanging out with people who draws towards God. You see, we are denying our flesh. And what happens is as we deny our flesh, our spirit comes alive. And as our spirit comes alive, we can commune with the Father. So he doesn't hide ourselves to say, you're never going to find me. He just puts himself away to say, how important is this to you? Will you stir yourself up to deny yourself, to get yourself in a place where you can commune with me? And when you commune with me, anointing flows, power flows, lives are changed. Life just gets a little bit outrageous. Jesus said, didn't he? I came that you would have life and life in its fullness. That comes when we seek him, when we prioritize him, when we put him front and center. Are you hearing me? I want to suggest there are loads of people, even, you know, in this month, you know, New Year's resolutions and good ideas. People are saying, I'm making the gym a priority. I'm making my diet a priority. I'm making getting my finances a priority. And all those things are good. But I think the thing that's going to change your life most is prioritizing God. More than anything else, put him first and everything else will follow. But that's a decision, and we have an enemy who tries to sidetrack us. So if you find yourself getting sidetracked, come on, shake yourself out of it. Stir yourself up and say, I'm not getting sidetracked. Today is God's day. And tomorrow, do it again. And the day after that, do it again. They reckon it takes, I think it's 62 days to develop a habit. A couple of months. Could you every day for the next 2 months shake off those things that are pulling you away and sidetracking you and say, I'm creating a good habit to put God first. Because anointing will flow. And that will be exciting. If you're believing for a health change, if you're believing for a miracle, it will shift when the anointing flows. So it's worth the fight, isn't it? Here's what I want to do. I want to create an opportunity where we can all have an anointing oil experience. I've asked some of the leaders, some people I trust and love who are brilliant people, to come up the front, and we're all going to have some oil. And I want to invite all of you. You're welcome. It's not compulsory and you don't have to come forward. But the purpose of this is that we have the outward expression of the rubbing in of the anointing oil, which highlights a spiritual truth that you are anointed. Because the word says, after the anointing oil, power flowed. And wouldn't it be amazing if in January 2024, in our first gathering, we had an anointing oil experience and you walked away and you just knew your life was empowered to a new level. And on the one hand, it's someone rubbing oil in your head. I appreciate. But on the other hand, it's a spiritual truth. And it's a reality. And I think God recognizes it. So I'm going to pray. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to invite you. I'd love to do this as families. If you're a parent here and your children are in church, go get them. Go bring them back and do it as a family. Have the whole family anointed, kids and all. And what that does, it gives you an opportunity to talk to your children. They go, what was that all about? Well, it was about anointing. Well, it was about an experience together. It's actually, you could tell them something that they might get, and you're then training your child in the way to go. Do you get it? Let's let this be a family experience. So if I've asked you to come and be an anointing person, could you come forward? And I'm going to pray while we're getting ourselves together. Ellie has got some oils. It's just olive oil. It's nothing weird. Let me get you to stand up. I'm going to pray for you while the guys come forward. Father, I want to thank you for every brilliant person who's paid the price to be here this morning. Bless them. I pray they'd leave this place encouraged, that the year 2024 is for the taking. It's up for grabs. I pray, Lord God, that you could stir us in our spirit, that we would seek you, we would prioritize your presence. But Lord, I want to pray in this moment that anointing would flow, that as we step forward and do the outward expression of anointing, that spiritual empowerment would take place and that people would know this is the springboard into 2024. I am an anointed child of God. I have good character traits. I have good skills. And Lord, I offer them to you. And Lord, I want to pray, Father God, that there will be stories developed this year because we're walking in the anointing. That there will be testimonies of your goodness. Experiences where we go beyond ourselves because we're walking in the anointing. So have your way this morning, I pray. Lord, I pray that everyone would leave encouraged and blessed, that we would make great choices this year. Lord, as we fast as a church for the next 3 weeks, Lord, we put you front and center. We choose to deny ourselves in whatever way we've decided so that our spirit would come alive. Lord, we ask for salvation this year. Lord, that we would see at least 20 brand new salvations. Our friends, our family, our colleagues, our neighbors would come and meet with you for the first time. That your house would be alive and full of faith. Give us your presence, I pray, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've got